CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Oh, I had a good sleep last night. Sure. It was such a good sleep, I struggled to wake up this morning. And I listened to part of yesterday's podcast. I was like, Jesus, who would want to listen to someone who's so blocked up? Because I was still feeling very flu-y. I think I feel much better today. You could probably hear
right.
Sound a whole lot better as well. So thank God for that.
No, Gareth, it's allergies.
You think
allergies,
so?
It's not flu.
Well, it might be. Hey, I mean, it was weird. I had all the symptoms of a head cold and nothing more. It wasn't like, you know, the throat wasn't sore. So you probably, I mean, maybe
could be
you're
the
right.
COVID. You could have the COVID, a mild form of the COVID.
Well, maybe. I mean, what I'm probably...
Like, according to the research, like up to 65% of the population could have had COVID.
It's possible,
so
eh?
You could be one of them.
It could be. Maybe I should have a little antibody test. Sia showed me his yesterday.
No, what for? It's not necessary.
Well, just so I would know.
Why isn't it necessary?
Like, you know what? It's like you don't always have to have tests. You're alive. It's like, move on.
No, I'm inclined to agree.
I cracked a rib.
Yeah.
I cracked a rib. I didn't have x-rays. I got a cracked rib. We know it's a cracked rib. You don't need to have x-rays. Yeah. Why must your medical aid spend money?
No, it's not necessary. Wait, you're probably right.
How do you know it's a cracked rib if you didn't get an x-ray?
Because I went to my chiropractor and he did various orthopedic tests and he says, cracked rib. What else could it be? It's a cracked rib.
So just tell me, how did you crack a rib? That's not an easy thing to do.
Sure. Well, remember last time I told you we're going to wash our Persian carpets?
Yeah.
So my wife and I, we watched a YouTube video, as one does.
Mm-hmm.
The guy explained how to wash a rug.
What do you do
but
with
he
it?
He had a little...
Tell us. This could be useful for anyone who's got a Persian carpet.
He had a small rug. We got a huge rug, and that's where the difference comes. Absolutely.
That's where the difference comes.
So you mix the washing powder with hot water in the bucket. You have the carpet outside on a clean patio.
Yeah.
You wash the patio first. You pour the soapy water onto the carpet. I did that too many times. I did that three times. So I think I put too much soap into the carpet. Then, I admit I did that part. Then I admit I got my helper Sipo. So I bought a brush to do the actual brushing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, you take a high-powered hose and you rinse it out. But
that's
that
where the difference
out,
comes.
But that rinsing out took up the whole day. It's such a big carpet and there was so much soap. So then Bernice suggests to me to dry the carpet. On the YouTube video, you put the carpet on a table.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I broke the table.
No, oh, jeez.
The carpet's so big that I actually broke
the
table.
This is a hell of a carpet. So, this is like Aladdin's flying carpet. It's so big.
Aladdin could have taken the king, the queen, the sultan, the tiger, everybody onto this carpet. There would have still been space. Could have taken all the bad guys as well, plus the big statue that he climbed into to get the lantern. Could have all fitted on this carpet. Anyway, so we got this tall jungle gym.
Mm-hmm.
Bernice says to me, she suggests, put the Persian carpet over the jungle gym to dry.
Right.
Great idea. Makes sense.
Yeah, drip and dry.
Drip and dry. So I weighed last week about 133 kilograms. Now I weigh 132.2.
Yeah.
I then climbed on top of the jungle gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sipo and I, she helps me. I'm pulling the carpet up. Carpet weighs a ton. I weigh a lot.
Yeah.
The whole jungle gym tippled over.
Oh, Jesus. What a mess.
And then as I was tippling over, I went into shock. I didn't think break the fall with your hands. I just thought, it would just be like Leonardo DiCaprio on Titanic and just... see how it goes. Like, whatever happens, happens.
Shit.
And I just went, and I fell, and I hit a chair with my one rib.
Ooh.
And I'm lying there, and Mm-mm. I hear the sliding door of the patio opening, so I'm thinking Bernice is coming to see if I'm okay. Mm. I hear the sliding door open, and then I hear the sliding door close again. No, Bernice. She says she was. She said afterwards she was in the middle of a Zoom meeting. She heard the scream. It was a very important meeting. She could see I was alive. She could see I was moving, so she had to carry on with her meeting. Fair enough. It was a good look. It was a good meeting.
Jesus.
It was a very successful
meeting.
That's not
fair to me.
But you know, but the good news, the carpet's really clean now. We got a good clean carpet.
The upside,
But this broken rib business, I'm telling you now, yo, if you sneeze, why you have to excuse me. I brought tissues.
Yeah.
Because I can't blow my nose fully. And I got this little, you know, when you got a little tiny little bit of loose, something in your nose, you know, there's a sneeze like about to happen. So I'm trying to prevent that sneeze. Because if I sneeze,
it'll kill you.
It's like I can't breathe for about 5 or 6 seconds. I can't breathe afterwards. It is so bad.
But the carpet looks fantastic, right?
The carpet looks fantastic. It doesn't smell of dog urine anymore. It's fantastic.
So a bit of
Don't have a table anymore.
I hate
the table. It's one of those patio tables. We're getting Mr. Handyman coming in anyway. He'll just put the table back together. It's put together by screws and that. It's one of those metal. He'll just put it back together.
So I hate to sound like someone who doesn't care about your broken rib, but so use a bit of soapy water. And then you high pressure hose the thing, and then and you brush it.
When you after you put the hot water on the soap, and you do the scrubbing, let it sit for 20 minutes, according to the video.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. If it's one of the huge carpets, because one of these huge carpets, like my carpet, must be it's the size of a room almost. I reckon my carpet is maybe 4 meters.
Yeah.
By 3 meters, maybe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a huge carpet. My parents bought it in 1963.
And you managed to get it back to good shape. That's amazing. That's very good.
And it was washed about 12 years ago previously by professionals.
Wow.
I think we're going to go the professional route next time.
I think that might be a good idea.
Because I've had to go to the chiropractor twice now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to go to him again next week.
Yeah.
Yo.
And with a cracked rib, you just leave it alone and it fixes itself?
Generally speaking, yes, but people go to physiotherapy or to a chiropractor just to get things mobilized. Because when you crack a rib, the actual rib is not the rib is the main injury, but there's other – your rib is actually a dynamic structure, believe it or not. It does move as you inhale and exhale.
Mm.
So when you have that trauma, it's not just the rib that's been traumatized. Other joints – the joint between your sternum and your ribs, the joints between your spine, your ribs are connected to your spine. Those joints also get fiddled with, also get misaligned functioning
properly. Your intercostal muscles, all of that shit.
Yeah, it's called costochondral joints and sternocostal joints. Ooh. And you got to get those moving again. So people go to chiropractors, people go to physiotherapists, etc.
Well,
I'm just in pain listening to all of this.
Yeah.
If I breathe in heavily, it's about a 2 out of 10 of pain. If I sneeze, it's a 12 out of 10. If I cough, a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But it's getting slowly. Ooh, pooing. Oh yes. My god!
No.
I wish you sit on that toilet.
Pooing, huh?
You can't believe what the noises that are. It's like, it's like that. And you push, but then you can't push. But then my God, it is. Whoa. It is. It's called a Valsalva. A Valsalva movement.
So it is
really quite something.
All right. Pooing is also a problem then. This is very interesting.
Pooing. Okay. It's all interthecal pressure, it's called. Interthecal pressure.
Jesus. All right. Well, everything's connected to the ribs. That. Brendan says, morning.
Laughing. I mustn't laugh.
Brendan says, morning. It's actually easy to crack a rib. I've heard of people cracking ribs from coughing too much.
Yeah, but that's a lot of coughing. A lot of coughing.
Yeah. John says, your whole body has been traumatized, Damon, even your shits.
My shoulder as well, a little bit.
Mm.
I only noticed my shoulder a week later because my ribs are so sore. If other structures, I only noticed my shoulder afterwards because my ribs are feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I need, yes, I don't know what's happening with my shoulder. Sure.
Funda says, you've already started with your COVID theories. And nice to see Damon, says Kerry. Graham says, a cracked rib isn't contagious, Damon. So that's why there's a difference. That's where the difference
thank
counts.
Heavens. Thanks heavens. Yeah. Thank heavens.
Just a bit of feedback from Tracy. She says she loved the burning platform yesterday. Herman Pretorius, who we had on, was terrific, according to Tracy. Awesome political mind. Yeah, we're trying to get a bunch of different people on, you know, some different points of view, and we're trying to do that with the TV show as well. So you'll see people who come from a, you know, different angle.
I haven't watched the TV show this week.
Oh,
it looked like it was going to be really good.
There was something, I don't know what they did, but like on Wednesday evening, Sia and I were busy filming another show. We were recording some stuff at ENCA, and at 8:30, the show wasn't on yet. So we're like, what the hell's happening here? We didn't know. So eventually they told us that, no, there was some kind of delay. There was some sound issue or something. So our show only went out at 9:00. Very annoying.
That's not good because your ratings.
Yeah.
You said your ratings rely on the live thing.
Correct.
Okay, I'm just wake mommy up right now. Wake her up.
Oh, he turned his camera off, but he didn't mute himself.
Oh, I clicked on the wrong button.
Yes.
Oh my god, that wasn't very clever. Okay, you can use that in the promo. Sorry.
Damon, I'm not hating because at least you tried something. It was just an error of a button.
You know what? Like falling over, like the jungle gym tipping over, I panicked there as well because I realized that my wife has overslept and she's going to take my daughter to the bus stop. And if she doesn't get up now, she's going to miss that bus.
Trouble. Okay. Yes, yeah. But the show is available online. Since you missed it, you can.
Oh, that's what I want. No, that's what I want. That's what I wanted to ask you.
What is the best
and easiest way to find the TV show? Because I'm sorry, maybe I'm stupid, but what do you do? Do you go to YouTube? What do you do?
No, you go into cliffcentral.com. You click on videos, and one of the options there is So What Now, and all of the past episodes
are
there.
Every single episode.
See, I didn't know there was this integration, the synergy between ENCA and Cliff Central to such a degree.
Now
I didn't realize.
Well,
who owns the show, Gareth? Who owns the show?
So this is the crazy thing.
Bit of an inside
shut
joke.
Up, fuck's sake, Jesus Christ! So.
Okay.
Jesus.
I'm still reeling from Wake Mommy Up Now.
So they've got this crazy idea that they can't make advertising money off of the show if they put it on YouTube. So we're in constant fights with them. I know, it's very weird. We're in constant fights with them about where the show should go once it's been recorded. And it should be, I mean, we all think that it should be on YouTube because that's where people go to find stuff, right?
Yes.
They've got this crazy idea that no, it should live on their platform because then...
Make it live both places. Like Trevor Noah, I heard interviewed a few years ago. He admitted that his TV show, The Daily News, doesn't have a huge TV audience, but his social media, his little clips on Twitter and Facebook and he's huge. It's bigger than the other shows terms of internet. So come on. Hey?
Yeah, hey.
Come on. Urgh. I'm horrified.
All right.
What can you do, man? What can you do?
Very good.
I had a really, really. You know, speaking about Twitter. So sometimes I have these weak. Sometimes I have these weak moments where you know things go through your head. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't keep it to myself. I put it on Twitter.
What was it?
So, what happened?
I'm listening to Hot FM the other day in my car about two or three weeks ago, and I hear this DJ, and he sounded like a black South African putting on an American accent, because a lot of these guys do that in the past.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds ridiculous. So that's what I thought I was listening to. Some DJ, surname is something Washington. So I thought so I tweeted, this sounds really bad. This guy putting on an American accent, this is very.
Yeah.
So to cut a long story short, I got a lot of responses. I then Googled the guy. Turns out he is American. I was so embarrassed. But on the other hand, he doesn't sound good. I'm sorry. That's, to be honest with you, it sounds bad. But anyway, I get a phone call last week.
Who?
I get a phone call.
From who?
From the program manager, or the manager, or the boss. Lloyd Madurey, the guy who's the boss of Hot FM.
So you actually, phones me. You got a call. You got a call from management because of a tweet. Wow.
Well, originally I thought he was phoning to offer me a job or something.
Yeah.
Because that would make more sense. It was all about that, Damon. I just want to clarify that he is American.
So called you to check.
The thing is with me, I don't react well in a situation. I should have just said to him, "You're phoning me for this. That doesn't make any sense." Instead, I apologize. Oh my God, I feel so bad. I shouldn't have sent the tweets, etc., etc. Which was a stupid reaction. But that's me. That's how I reacted.
Well,
but I should have rather said, "Surely, I can't believe you're phoning me about this." But anyway, it was so weird that afterwards I thought to myself, "Did that really happen? Did that really happen?"
You should be embarrassed about making a stupid tweet like that.
I am embarrassed.
No.
I am embarrassed.
You shouldn't go.
I even apologized.
So I saw.
I did apologize.
We were talking about this just yesterday, or it could even been the day before. But the host of The Bachelor in America has been fired, and so has one of the contestants because of like some the girl was wearing like a dress from the South in the old South before slavery was abolished and. This obviously made her a racist, obviously. And then the host of the show said, look, let's just, you know, show a little bit of grace was his exact word. And he came across to some people as if he was apologizing for her supposed racism. I mean, it's all just insane. And
oh, but you know what, Gareth? Sorry to cut you off. After we spoke about it, I think it was on Wednesday.
Mm.
I went back. I had known of the story,
yeah.
But I went back and I actually did more research on it.
Yeah.
Oh, the photo doesn't look good.
Oh, really?
Look, it's not like they are lynchings and they have the N-word plastered on posters, but it's a group of only white girls. They're dressed in these.
Oh, so it's
dresses.
Not just one person.
No. They're dressed in these dresses from that era, like slavery era. It was taken in 2018. And this was, how do they phrase it? Like a Southern Belle plantation party.
Right.
They actually hosted the party on a plantation, a former slave plantation.
Right.
So, I mean.
But so what? So she's got this antebellum dress on, but so what?
But hang on.
Why would you go and party on an old slave plantation?
But it's a theme. I mean, there are old slave plantations. I mean, a lot of, you know, you could call a lot of, most of the farms in the South would be old slave plantations.
Which is also
like a wedding venue or whatever. I mean, just hang on a second. Like, have we lost our minds? So I'm looking at the picture now. So it's a frilly, like lacy pink dress, basically. It's just unbelievable.
How do you find it?
So you just look up.
You search.
You just look up Rachel, RACHAEL, Rachel with an A, Kirkconnell.
Yeah.
She's the. And you just see.
With a K.
And you find, you know, you find the picture of her in that dress, which is, she's hot, by the way. She's a really good looking girl.
Well, they all hot.
No, and then, she's wearing the dress, but don't tell me, like, what's the problem? It's a theme party. It's a theme party.
Also, it's not like you must bring
your own slave. And of course, it used to be a plantation, but now it's just a farm. It could be like a wedding venue or a conference center.
The photo that I'm looking at, they pixelated a lot of the whatever.
Yeah. So what do you
all of the attendees?
So like, okay. I mean, then by that.
Oh, and then they got a red circle around her face.
So by that rationale. We shouldn't have anyone in Parliament because that used to be the old apartheid Parliament building. So when they do the State of the Nation address like they did the other day, that should be moved somewhere else because that building was used by the apartheid government. In fact, Hendrik Verwoerd was stabbed in that very building.
Wait, I thought I saw someone hanging from a tree in the background. No,
Damon.
No, that was just a branch. sorry.
But do you see?
You've got to be sure.
Do you see how dumb this is? Like, just people must stop being dumb on social media.
You know what, Gareth? Well, the thing is, Gareth, we're in a situation at the moment where there's a lot of There's an imbalance where it goes either way, too much or too little, and we've got to find a healthy, like, understanding and like, just, you know what I'm trying to say.
No,
so, for example, I don't ignore certain sensitivities, but then don't overdo other sensitivities.
Just don't.
And then the other way
what's
around.
What's it to you? Who the hell are you? I don't need you to tell me what is offensive and what isn't. I don't need anyone deciding that for me. How about you?
How about you do your thing? Okay,
if you want to go online and you want to call someone an American and they're not an American, or they're putting on a fake accent.
The thing is, so you disagree with me completely?
Totally.
Because I don't think we.
As usual.
No, but I'm not agreeing. I'm not agreeing with the. But I'm agreeing with you that it's ridiculous that she lost her job. So what I'm trying to say is, on the other hand, you can't be totally insensitive and ignore everything. That's all I'm saying.
Just stop trying to control people. Stop trying to tell people what. If they don't think the same as you, that doesn't mean you should shut them up. It doesn't mean you can cancel them. Fuck's sake. I can't believe we have to talk about this every week.
That's the thing, Gareth. I hear you often discussing this, and I often think to myself, Gareth, I think you've got to get a healthy balance. That's all I'm saying. Like you've got to draw the line somewhere. You can't have no rules.
Why do you have to draw the line anywhere? Who cares?
Okay, so in other words, can I walk around with a swastika armband around the place?
We know what we're dealing with if you do, yeah.
But that's what I'm trying to say.
I don't believe there's any such thing.
You've got to have some healthy balance. That's what I'm saying.
No, well then, you know what? Who are you going to appoint as the arbitrator in all of this? Who's going to be the person?
In other words, Gareth, I'm being completely irrational and ridiculous by saying you've got to have a healthy balance.
I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum. I don't believe that we should ever cater to other people's sensitivities in the way we speak or the way we behave. If people don't like you, they can just move away from you. They can get away from you. They can leave you alone. I don't think that it's ever right for you to take someone else and ruin their life just because they disagree with you or because they say something unpopular. This is not a dangerous girl. It's a fucking Bachelor contestant. She's not an important person. She's not running for office.
I agree with you in this case.
She wore a dress and went and had a party with a bunch of her friends at a place because it was probably a nice place to have a party.
Oh no! Yeah, it might have great views, but what happened there? Dress like that? To me, that would be just like someone dressing up like the Nazis and going to Auschwitz.
It's not like the Nazis at all.
Oh, kind of is.
But then you agree. But the example that Sia gave you now, you're acknowledging that is maybe unacceptable, right?
I'm tired of talking about this. I think anybody who joins an online mob should also not be allowed to have social media ever again. That if we're going to cancel people for doing the wrong thing online, then let's also cancel you if you join an online mob. Then it's fine. But then Gareth, everybody gets cancelled.
I'm not completely understanding what you're saying. So in the Damon reference, where he said if you wore swastika, you said at least we would know where you stand.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe there's any such thing as hate speech. All right. I don't. I know that there is. I know that there's a legal definition, and I know we all have to comply with it. So as far as I'm concerned, hate speech shouldn't exist as a category. Because we already have laws to protect people against violence and against mobs and against state violence, right? We already have laws for that. Like I can't, for example, go up to someone and just hit them in the face, which is correct. We shouldn't be allowed to do that. I don't believe that you should be allowed to abuse someone racially. I don't believe you should be allowed to abuse someone on the basis of their sexuality or their gender or any of that stuff.
But that's hate speech, right?
I know, but we've already got rules for that stuff. We've already got laws in place for that stuff. You can claim assault from someone if they start shouting at you in a shopping mall just because you're black.
But then you agree.
Here's the problem.
Damon, I want Gareth to get to his point.
So the definition of hate speech has to be very, very precise. Otherwise, people could call anything they don't like hate speech, right? That's where it becomes problematic. If hate speech is as it's defined in South Africa's constitution, it's very, very clear. So hate speech is either incitement to violence or something that causes someone harm, actual bodily harm. That's hate speech. It's very clear. It's very particular. It's a very narrow thing. The minute you expand,
I don't think it's bodily harm specifically.
Well, it's something that causes them harm. Now, you know, you can claim, and this is where it gets very shadowy. So I can say, well, I'm a very sensitive person, and what you said to me has shaken me so much that I can't leave my house for 6 weeks. Now,
I think that has now been a diluted or extreme context or point. But laws, in my opinion, aren't made for middle ground people or lukewarm situations.
But here's the problem.
Laws are made to encapsulate and make sure that extremists aren't led to that point.
So let me ask you then. So let's say I go walking the dog and someone sees me without a mask and they say to me, you should have your mask on, which has probably happened to most of us in the last, you know, couple of months. And you say, oh, I don't have my mask. I left it at home. Mind your own business. And that person decides that what you've done is hate speech. Because they could. They could be a very sensitive old Karen. And then they go back to their house and they call the police and they say, this person, they used hate speech on me. Because they think that's the definition. You know, it's something they disagree with, something that they personally are hurt by. Now suddenly you find yourself in a situation where you've been accused of hate speech just because you didn't have a mask on and you said, mind your own business. See what I mean? It's a problem.
I hear you.
Now that makes a mockery. That makes a mockery of people who are genuinely full of hatred and people who go around being racist. And they are hard to find. Let's not be under any illusion. It's very hard to find an actual racist these days because people who are openly hostile to other races are already being eschewed by society. They're already being kicked to the curb, rightly so. You don't have to look hard and far to find a proper racist. They'll evidence themselves anyway. You know, if you're a white supremacist or a like Nazi, chances are you'd have to keep that to yourself and keep it under wraps. And you probably should, because the rest of us don't like that kind of behavior. So why do we need a rule for it? Why do we need a rule for it if society's already, it's like rape, or, you know, we've discussed sexual violence and we've discussed how for anyone who takes a very mild definition of these things, they tend to make the serious conditions seem trivial and the trivial ones serious. It's very important in the law that you know precisely what the nature of the crime is. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to convict those people. And the same should go for hate speech.
I think, you know, if we look at that specific mask, hate speech example, to me it seems like such a middle ground. I don't even think it would stand in court. So if we continue with your analogy, hate speech to me is something like, yes, it happened 50 odd years ago, but I think it still weighs up. I think of the Little Rock Nine, and these were 9 black students who were one of the first to not be desegregated. So they were going into new schools with white kids for the first time. Mm-hmm. And initially it started off as just a lot of hateful words, no violence. But imagine being a kid walking into a place and every single day you are screamed at and hurled insults at, and people didn't want
It happens to ginger people all the time, and rightly so.
Okay, sure. So something like that, you know, you could say if we didn't have hate speech, then,
I feel like people are, the horrible people are going to find ways to be horrible, and nice people are going to find ways to be nice, regardless.
And nice people, if they really care, should always try to make, to end hate or to fight against hate.
Ah, but now you see, now you're asking for a positive movement to stop hate, as opposed to just stopping negative hatred from happening. It's a different thing. So now you're making it requisite for people to actually do something in their lives to stop hate. You can't do that. You're just not allowed
I don't think everyone should be an activist, but I think laws should somewhat be an equalizer or leveler.
The thing is,
positive or negative, it's very different.
What I said about earlier on having a healthy balance, it's exactly, Garrett, you just put it into better words than me. So then, we're both saying the same thing.
Okay, then let's move to headlines because we've got to.
But no, but let me just add one important thing. The law is not perfect. You can't expect the law to accurately define every single bit of hate speech. So there could be something that the law never thought of. So that's why there are cases where people decide, was that hate speech? That's okay, what I'm saying.
It is childish to think that we will ever end hatred. There are people who grow up who are angry, miserable, unhappy people who hate. You're never going to stop.
Yeah, but I'm on medication. I'm taking medication now. I'm getting better.
When someone is so filled with hate that they go online for no good reason after listening to a little-known community radio station and they complain
about my medication,
and they complain about someone's accent, just assume that they're not on their medication.
Well, so, Gareth, is then your modus operandi just to not even try to work against that?
Hatred is its own punishment, Sia. Hatred is its own ugly reward. If you're a hateful, nasty, shitty person who goes around looking for reasons to hate other people, trust me, you've not got a happy life. And therefore, your life is a misery already, with or without the hatred that you think you're not handing out.
Before you give headlines, just
stop.
Just remember, and this is what I said a couple of weeks ago when you were cucking on me from a dizzy height. If you're the history expert, all genocide and the yada 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 all started with hate speech.
No,
hello,
it doesn't.
So you got to stop it.
Sometimes,
come on.
But sometimes it isn't.
But
sometimes
I feel like we've run away with this issue, Gareth. You were saying something specifically about The Bachelor.
It was a good issue.
I'm just over this. I just wish we could all stop canceling each other. Let's let some of this ugly stuff, let's let it out so that we can know what we're dealing with. Because
bring back the K word.
No. But at the moment, everybody, you don't know what anyone thinks anymore. You don't know what anybody thinks because they're too afraid to say it. So if they don't say it, then we have to start assuming there's racism or hatred going on. We have to start like guessing at and pulling straws and hoping that someone somewhere gets caught for racism instead of finding the really bad people by letting them just say and do outrageous things. And that's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between that.
Alone with other white people, and you know exactly what they think.
Well, I don't know so much. I mean, I don't hear people saying outrageously racist things.
I had a big fight with a friend I had a big fight with a friend years ago because he did some subtle racist comments. You know what he said to me? You should have warned me not to be racist. That was his defense, and he wasn't even joking.
Well, nice.
He was being dead serious.
Nice friend.
You should have warned me not to be racist. Those were his words.
I just people don't be an asshole and don't be super sensitive and don't be sensitive on behalf of other people. You don't have that right.
But why not?
Okay.
You don't have the right. But then to be
Gareth,
upset
you also say you
else.
Want. You also say you want to let it out. I mean, like in this Rachel incident, she went there. She went to the party. The photos are there. That's what. How more out do you want?
So do you? Yeah, but now she's running for a gap on The Bachelor. And by the way, The Bachelor is black. So if she's such a racist, why would she be on the show if she knows she's got to try and date a black guy? She can't be racist by definition.
We're looking
the fame and the exposure. You take it.
So and when
even if you're racist,
so we'll find some racism. Okay, lovely. Good. I just want to point out again that the supply of racism is just not enough for the demand. There seems to be a huge demand online for racism at the moment, and there's just not enough supply. So I hope that there are enough racists to satisfy the needs of all these people who are looking for all the time.
Well, now I forgot that guy's name. Jacques Poe.
Let's move on.
When Jacques Poe wrote that article and he made a mistake and he corrected himself about the restaurant incident, have you discussed it?
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, I thought, okay, he made a mistake. How embarrassing. And I moved on. Next second, Twitter is full of, if he was a white man, if he was a black man, I thought, what the hell are you going? What the hell is this? Just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, let's give some headlines.
So Becky Taylor is going to report back. He went to visit Jacob Zuma at Ngandla. It seems everybody's popping in there at the moment. I've just got to point out, like I was looking at the pictures of Becky Taylor visiting Jacob Zuma. And this house in Ngandla looks horrible, right? Really looks horrible.
Oh, it's horrible.
Covered in like cowhide, and then it's got these, You know, it's got this very modern kind of floor and walls, but the ceiling is all thatch. It's all very strange. It's a strange looking.
It's not exactly Sabi Sabi.
And the house, the chair that Jacob Zuma sits in is a very bizarre looking chair. So if you want to know what I'm talking about, just go and look at the pictures.
But Garrett, did they actually publish and report what they actually spoke about
yet?
Because I haven't seen that.
No.
They give their own take.
Can we try surmise? Can we try theorize?
So the contents of the meeting, according to EWN, the contents of the meeting were not revealed, but it came against the backdrop of Zuma's refusal to cooperate with the State Capture Commission. Apparently what was decided, according to Dudu Zuma Sambuutla, who's she's the daughter of Jacob Zuma, she said, no Nkandla tea was served, but great conversations and laughs were shared. So it sounds like everybody's having a happy time.
So what did they drink?
One of the things was, should an arrest warrant be issued, it will be the minister that will come and fetch President Jacob Zuma. Now, I think this is no laughing matter, but clearly the Zuma family think it's hilarious. So obviously, it's a bit of a political theater going on. Bekele is showing that he is on good terms with former President Zuma. It's a bit of an FU to President Ramaphosa.
Oi.
It's all actually about ANC internecine battles. So you figure that out. But these two met, and as far as I'm concerned, both of them should be clapped in irons and put in jail. But that's just my opinion. Oh, hate speech.
And it seems like this.
I think there might have been hate speech.
This to the daughter is always there.
Yeah, she's always hanging around. Doesn't she have a husband?
Always at the house.
Doesn't she have a husband? She's married to this Sambuutla guy. So why isn't she with him? Anyway, Ramaphosa has urged South Africans not to see the glass half empty. he's still going down this let's be positive street, okay? So President Cyril Ramaphosa said the government's biggest priority was rolling out the vaccines. The massive project began on Wednesday, just 24 hours after the vaccines landed in South Africa. Replying to the debate on the State of the Nation address, he also said South Africans shouldn't see the glass half empty. He says concrete progress is being made in getting the economy back on track. He avoided directly responding to personal insults hurled at him during the 2 days prior to this one, saying he only felt that they were uncalled for. He said the start of the vaccination program brought hope, but that South Africa was still in the midst of the worst global health emergency in more than a century. I don't see that. I don't see how this is the worst global health emergency in more than a century when AIDS has actually killed more people than coronavirus even has infected. Just think about that for a second.
Coronavirus is completely two different diseases.
Yes, but Damon, AIDS has been without a doubt our biggest global health emergency.
Without a doubt.
Right.
Without a doubt, but the thing is, the way AIDS is transmitted and the way COVID-19 is transmitted is completely different. So you can't discuss the two in the same sentence.
You can't call this the worst health emergency South Africa's had in more than a century. You just can't. That's not right. It's inaccurate.
It's a gray area. It's a gray area because it's affected the economy terribly because of the lockdown, etc.
How many millions of people have died because of HIV and AIDS?
Sure, probably 50 million, maybe more.
Right. How many people have died because of coronavirus? Government states.
I think 1.1 million?
No. Less than 50,000.
No, around the world,
No, in South Africa. We're talking about South Africa.
48,000.
Right. So which one's the bigger health emergency?
It's just on the numbers.
I'm not asking you. No, it's not gray if you have to interpret just numbers. Would you like a check for 48,000 rand or would you like a check for 50 million rand?
I'd like the 50 million.
Thank you. So you've answered the question. All right. There we go. Why does everything need to be a debate? It's not a debate. It's fucking obvious.
I'm sorry. Because you
why
don't
is it a debate?
Gareth. You may not be. I'm just saying because you believe.
Oh, you could be an idiot.
The bigger picture, Gareth, is that you have consistently belittled and downplayed.
Who
this
cares what I think?
Situation.
I've just given you two figures. One is bigger than the other. Can you understand that? That's logic.
Yes, but the one is really bad as well.
It has nothing to do with what you think of my opinion. What's wrong with you that you need to interpret everything through 15 lenses? Some things are fairly obvious. Why do you have to overthink it?
Because I'm not overthinking it, Garrett. This has been a consistent theme where you consistently downplay the COVID-19 pandemic. That's what I'm pointing out.
Because it needs it needs downplaying, because people are constantly playing it up, and it's bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit, guys.
Bullshit.
No. But anyway, let's move on.
The world's... this is amazing. Teeth from mammoths have been buried in the Siberian permafrost for more than a million years, and they have yielded the world's oldest DNA that's ever been sequenced, according to a study published on Wednesday. So apparently they found three specimens. One is 800,000 years old, and two of them are over a million years old. They provide important insights into giant ice age mammals, including the ancient heritage of the woolly mammoth. So they took the DNA out of these teeth, and they managed to sequence the genome for the oldest creature ever. Previous to this, it was a horse that was 780,000 years old. Now they've got a million-year-old mammoth to do the DNA testing on. So which is older, Damon, or are you going to have to interpret that?
Now you're getting really personal, and you are examining everything with a lens, and just calm down.
Yeah. So it's 1,000 times older than Viking remains, which they managed to sequence. It predates the existence of humans and Neanderthals. And the paleogenetics department in Stockholm is busy publishing this survey into the genome of the mammoth. So that's really interesting. Now, I just hope that they can find a way of taking this this DNA, making it, you know, because you have to replicate the DNA, and then maybe they can put it in an elephant and we can actually have a mammoth at the zoo. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Uh-uh.
Don't you think it would be interesting?
But do you think, but Gareth, in all seriousness, do you think they are really seriously looking at things like that when they like are extracting DNA? Because at the end of the day, what's the word? The end game. What is the end game of examining DNA of mammoths? What else could they be? That's what they must be thinking about.
Science is just interested in learning and in curiosity. I mean, there might be individual scientists who have an agenda. More or less, the point of scientific endeavor like this is to learn more, is to discover how these genes may differ from that of an elephant. But there may be some crackpot crazy scientist who decides that the end game is we need to make a mammoth.
Mm.
But generally,
imagine that.
Generally, it's not science's goal in this case to, you know, solve for a specific problem. It might just be that we want to learn. And it might be impossible to, the species may be so divergent, you know, like, for example, cats and dogs are so different that you couldn't implant a dog fetus into a cat. You know that wouldn't work. But dogs themselves as a species are so varied that you might be able to take one kind of dog and implant it in another kind of dog and it will grow. So, you know, elephants and mammoths may be vastly different in ways that we don't know. And therefore, they wouldn't be able to in any way speak to each other on a DNA level. We just don't know. This is what makes these discoveries so interesting.
Sure.
This is interesting. The law will force tech giants in Australia to pay for news on their platforms. Facebook says the legislation fundamentally misunderstands its relationship with publishers. But politicians, publishers and right groups in several countries have accused Facebook of bullying and raised concerns over access to information. Basically, Facebook is facing mounting criticism after it blocked news content in Australia amid a dispute with government over a planned law. So again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other social media platforms need to decide, are we publishers or are we just platforms? If you're a publisher, then you get to decide what content is and isn't acceptable, what content should and shouldn't be paid for, because you're the publisher. If you're a platform, you don't get to decide those things because your users generate your content. So they always call themselves platforms when it comes to, you know, we don't want responsibility for that. We can't be blamed for something that our users say, like all the shit that we were talking about on Twitter earlier. You know, Twitter can't be held responsible for that. That's what they keep saying. But they want to be publishers when it comes to, can we charge for this? Do we need to make sure that it's true? Do we need to make sure that it's not a form of hate speech or violence, or it goes beyond free expression? So they haven't made their minds up, and they sometimes say that they're the one, and then when they're criticized, they say they're the other. So it's time that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are held to account for whatever they say their definition is. And it can't be different in one part of the world to how it is in another part of the world.
And why is this only happening in Australia? Just remind me again.
Well, Australia...
Yeah, I was not able to understand that this week.
Yeah, Australia...
I think Australia, yeah.
Australia's prime minister has said that the social media company's actions to unfriend Australia were as arrogant as they were disappointing. Obviously, in Australia, they've got rules around what news can be hosted where and what you have to pay for news and how you can determine the veracity of news. You know, Australia is a fairly evolved first world country, and this is an important thing to them and to their citizens. They need to know what to believe. And the whole argument came about because Australia is busy drafting new rules, and they're going to put laws into place that will force Facebook and Google actually to pay for news content that is being watched worldwide. So they apparently want to address the media business's loss of advertising revenue to US tech firms. So they're almost trying to protect Australian media, local Australian media, because all the ad spend, which is the same thing that's happened in this country, has gone straight to Google and Facebook. Does that make sense to you?
Okay. So do you kind of like, are you leaning towards agreeing with Australia?
I think that we need to diminish the role of big tech, because I do think that they are enormously, enormously influential and powerful. And if they make a decision in, you know, Silicon Valley that is bad for news in South Africa, that they can influence very, very dramatically the way that we consume news. So I think it requires clarity. And I'm nervous about this because I prefer for companies to be able to do the right thing themselves. But I think Facebook and Google have shown themselves to not do the right thing in too many situations. And I don't think we should all be held, you know, prisoner by them effectively, because we've all opted in to their networks and to their platforms and to their communities. And I think it does skew the way people think, not always for the better. So we'll see. Finally, this is interesting. There is an app called Sugarbook. It's a dating app. The guy who started it was actually arrested for prostitution in Malaysia.
Ooh.
So this is a dating app for, like, you know, here in South Africa, we have blessers and blessees, right?
Is that an app as well?
No, but it's a thing that happens.
Okay.
You've got people who will find a sugar daddy, and then that becomes their blesser. And that person pays for everything, and in return, she gives him sex. Right?
App do you go to for that?
So this is something called Sugarbook, and it promises to link younger women with older men who are expected to provide financial support. So the police in Malaysia have arrested this guy under anti-prostitution laws.
Is he a Malaysian?
He is. He's 34 years old. He's a guy called Darren Chan in Malaysia. And last week, the app boasted that thousands of students, which called Sugar Babies, had joined. Access was then blocked after an outcry. The app's founder was arrested in Kuala Lumpur. He was arrested, but the Straits Times says he was rearrested on Thursday after being released for a short time. And so, you know, here's a country where the government don't allow prostitution, and this app crosses a line, according to them. How do you like them apples?
It's a bit of a gray area. I don't think they can.
It's gray area, just the phrase of the day.
No, look, I just think in a court of law, how do they prove that he consciously was doing the whole sex worker industry thing?
Well, if you own a brothel, right?
No, then that's more direct.
So how's the app different to a brothel?
I haven't seen the app, but the app might not directly say this app is for young women to date older men. You know what I'm trying to say?
No,
but a brothel is more direct. You're going to a brothel to pay for sex. Look, it's a gray area.
It's a lot of gray areas. I'm glad you're not drafting our legislation. We'd be in big trouble.
Thank God for that.
Sure.
By the way, while we're talking about Facebook, I think it bears mentioning that our Cliff Central Facebook page has been hacked.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sia called me about this yesterday. What has happened since?
Well, we're just putting it out there that if you see any, if you like the page and you follow the page and you're seeing odd activity, please know that it's not us. You can report it if you see anything and or let us know. We're dealing with it as it comes.
How do you deal with it?
We will see.
Give an example of a strange thing that they posted.
So let me just tell you.
Haven't posted anything yet.
I'm going to tell you how it happened. I'm going to tell you how it happened because it might happen to you and you can avoid this happening to you. So we got a social media invite from a company that does Facebook marketing for you, right? And it all looks very legitimate and they've got their address in San Francisco there. And Greg, our station manager, had set up a meeting with these people where he was actually going to talk to them on a video conference app. And Greg has always been, like I have, very suspicious of any of these companies. And so he went online to meet with them to explore that there was, you know, possibly some way that we could work together. And he shared a screen with them for like a couple of seconds. So, you know, like on Webinar Jam, I could share a screen with you now and you could see my screen. All it's going to do now is show you Webinar Jam because that's all that's open on my screen. But he shared a screen with them for a couple of seconds. It was clearly enough. I don't know how they did it, but it was clearly enough for them to see the Facebook. I don't know how they must have, how they hacked in, how exactly they did it. But after that, we lost our logins and they changed the password. So you've got to be extremely careful. You've got to be extremely careful. And this could go for any video conferencing app. You know, I don't know how they did it, but it definitely was as a result of that meeting. And this is a meeting Greg had with them just yesterday. So it shows you it's really, really bizarre how they do this.
But at the time, how did Greg feel the meeting went? Did these people seem legitimate while he was talking to them?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. He said that they were legit up to where, you know, he realized something was going wrong.
Yeah, he said yes, but it was just his first, not a red flag, but more like an amber flag, was the name of this person and the accent really didn't match.
Oh, clever.
So he was an Adam, so he said, from the States, but the accent was a very thick Indian accent. So it just, maybe it was a Washington. what is the dude's name?
I can't remember. His surname was Washington, that DJ.
So here we've come. Now we've come full circle. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I love going full circle. The question is, how do you unhack the situation? Well, that is the question.
So we've got to try and figure out.
Does Facebook help you by any chance?
That's what we were trying to do.
So this is the funny thing, is that it seems, and I've made a few calls. We even know some people at Facebook in South Africa, but it seems that nobody's able to help us expedite sorting out this problem. It's really hard to figure out what to do next. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Very messy.
But the thing is, I'm sorry, Facebook should really be able to handle it. Because, I mean, come on. This kind of thing's been going.
You would think so, right?
That's very unacceptable. Yeah. That's not good.
But, so, I mean, Facebook's too busy making money to worry about something stupid like a hack, you know?
Nah, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. You should be aggrieved customers.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So what you got to do is, just relaunch a new account.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's play it by ear. Let's see what these people want.
If you ask me, no more meetings. If you ask me, I just say get off of Facebook, but then that's just me. At this point, I'm willing to get off of all social media, and I'm the only one who says that. Everyone else is like, no, you got to stay on there. All right, let's get on with it.
I like Facebooks for birthdays. It's nice to know when people's birthdays are. That's important.
It is 7 o'clock, just after. cliffcentral.com. Damon is with us this morning. We want to hear from you. 079-748-2090.
cliffcentral.com.